Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. Taking a moment to share a message before we get started, that there is a unique opportunity for all of the Found Family podcast listeners. Be sure to stay tuned for the announcement at the end of this episode to learn more about this awesome gift.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Found Family. I'm so excited. I have a very special guest with me today, Kati, and we are going to be talking about how to self-soothe to reduce stress and increase self-confidence. Kati Kosofsky was a successful securities lawyer for over 14 years, working at the SEC on Capitol Hill, where she received accolades for her work. Her demanding job and strong focus in global corporate work showed Kati that unlocking human potential is key for people to live their best lives and excel personally and professionally. She used this wisdom to reinvent her life and develop a roadmap for others to reduce stress and increase self-confidence. Kati, hello, welcome. I'm so excited that you're here with us today.
Hello, thanks for having me, Lizzie. I'm really excited to be here with you and share with your audience.
Absolutely, and what an incredible topic. I'm so excited to dive deeper. So I would love to start off with asking when/what led you to discover this link between stress and self-confidence?
So, yeah, the link between stress and self-confidence came, I kind of have to go through my story to tell you where I got to and then discovered this. So I'll share a little bit about my story. So, yeah, like you said in my intro, I practiced securities law for many years. I'm an immigrant, and I decided to go to law school because I really wanted to make a difference. We literally moved to this country with two suitcases during the Iran Revolution, and we thought we were just staying for 2 weeks, and we stayed a lifetime, which was
wow.
The biggest blessing in my life. And so I got to grow up as a Midwestern gal in Indiana, and I always thought I would save the world by being a lawyer. I'm very purpose-driven, and, you know, I'm 47. Back then, like, the concept didn't even exist, which is, you know, okay. So I did that for many years successfully in Washington, D.C., and then I moved to California, and I went in-house, and I was in-house counsel to a very large corporation. And it was a day, Lizzie, I had spent 15 hours probably drafting a very small part of a mutual fund prospectus. And then I went home that night and I opened my mailbox and there was my own prospectus and I reflexively threw it away. And that was my big aha moment that, oh my God, what I'm doing for a living no longer makes sense for me. It has no meaning or merit. It was a very personal decision, but it was really relevant. So to answer your question, that came on the heels of spending maybe many months with my gastroenterologist, where I was having really bad acid reflux problems, and he had to stick tubes down my throat, blah, blah, blah. And one day he just said to me, as he gave me the results, he said, you are so stressed at work. Your stress spikes when you're at work. Your acid levels go through the roof. And he looked at me and he said, this job is literally going to kill you if you don't do something different. And I looked at him and I said, what do you expect me to do? Are you planning on paying my bills? And we laughed about it. But that plus this event that happened around my prospectus made me really realize that, boy, this could kill me. So I just quit my job cold turkey and I started down this new career path because everyone wanted this from me. You know, all my life in D.C. as a lawyer, I was helping people discover who they were and unearth their truth and make more money and be happier and make their life easier, whether they're looking for a job or to get promoted or to find a date, whatever it was. So when I quit, I just turned to my, you know, left brain linear mind as a lawyer, and I started to think, well, how do I prove my theories on this? And what are my theories on this? And I spent enough time at that point working with clients. So I worked with a neuroscientist up at UCLA to prove these theories, and I just started looking at the links with where my own stressors were and what happened to me, and then what happens with my clientele. So the informal research. And then I did the formal research, and it really conclusively showed that there's a direct inverse correlation between stress and self-confidence. So as our stress goes up, and naturally does every day, then our self-confidence drops proportionally. It must, even for the most self-confident people, which is all of my client base. You know, nothing's wrong with my client base. They're all professionals that are out there getting it done, or musicians and artists that are out there getting it done. It's just that stress does strange things to even the most self-confident people. And that's what made me get to that point. And to this day, a decade later, I just shared my research, for instance, yesterday, and everybody does the same thing. They look at each other and go, I never need that correlation. So it's still groundbreaking, because I don't think people have caught up to the idea yet that they can actually do something about this for themselves.
Wow, that is so powerful. And you actually answered two questions, because the second one was going to be about the aha moment and, you know, what was this discovery period for you. So what an incredible, and I love that word groundbreaking. I feel like there's so much power and like oomph to hearing that. So I couldn't agree more. And I'm so sorry to hear about the way in which, you know, the stress level had impacted your life in that way. I think that when we go through our own storms and feel that weight of stress, at least for me personally, I think sometimes I need the universe to kind of give that weight to me so that I can feel a strong enough discomfort to lift it and do something. And, you know, in similar ways, you know, to you, there were previous jobs that were giving me so much stress, which was also taking a toll on my self-confidence and just my, you know, confidence in the ability to even do my job, that as soon as I saw that kind of correlation, if I didn't make it in such a scientific way or like with proof, that was enough for me to take action and do something about it. So, you know, I'm right there with you.
Well, I think you and I are a little different, because we did take action, right? And that's what I want for everyone. And so, yeah, I wouldn't change a thing that happened.
Right.
You know, those wake-up calls are tremendously important. And God knows how many of those I had missed or continue to miss. However, that's part of what I teach, the self-awareness piece. But it always seems like it's really tough when you're going through it. But the process of reinvention is always ongoing. So even as we speak right now, I'm going through another iteration of that, where it's really rough and it's painful. And it's like the universe brings me to my knees, because I hear in my meditations, you're not listening. So we're going to make this really clear for you. And we're going to like make it very uncomfortable for you. So you hear and you shift and you do something for yourself, because you must, right? So that's my goal with everyone, with the research and with working with them like you do, you know, just to get people to really want it for themselves, see the reality of it, and that they have a choice and that they matter.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so beautiful. I just like, that really resonated with me. Amazing. And so what were some of these steps that you personally used to reinvent your life?
Well, honestly, stepping back and saying, I am not happy. 2 years before the recession, when I went through this, no one was recreating themselves, right? Everyone thought I was nuts, and so did I. But because people were just, you know, slugging through, and the brand was nothing about the people. It was about wherever you worked, and there was job security. And then the recession hit, and people had to all of a sudden stop and wonder, what are they going to do? So self-awareness was my first step. And then also becoming comfortable with discomfort. Truly, and you know, what I'm going through right now is extremely uncomfortable. Growth is always uncomfortable. And really getting that if I'm not growing, I'm dying. And those are the two choices I have. And either one is fine. It depends on what you choose, frankly. And I'm not saying that to be cynical at all. It's just everyone has a choice. And so the combination of being willing to be uncomfortable and knowing I have a choice is very empowering.
And that is very empowering.
I can't do that for anybody. You can't do that for anybody. But my gift is allowing people to discover that for themselves with ease and with fun, and really knowing that they matter, like I just said, because it took me a long time, and I'm still working on that. I'm a work in progress. You know, the principle of the universe that you teach what you're learning is incredibly true. So I always take all my audiences on a journey with me that I'm learning this too. And that's the other thing, honesty. Really, fundamentally, one of the things is that your truth isn't about you being honest with yourself. And so, you know, when people don't choose to participate in the work that I do with me, it's okay. They're just, there's other people out there, but the fundamentals is you've got to be willing to look at it for yourself and look at the truth of it for yourself and be willing to get comfortable. And everyone's at a different place in their growth process, Lizzie. And so some are ready and some are not, you know, and the teacher will appear when the student is ready. So these are all the fundamental portions of my educational program for clients that I apply. And also the last part, which is critically important, is creativity. So I was very good at left brain linear analytical work. I was a good lawyer. And I lived in that left brain for a long time. And the day I decided I couldn't do this anymore, I knew I had to tap into my right creative brain. It was very scary, though, because if I was not a lawyer, then who the heck was I? So it was an identity crisis, an identity shift, which goes back to all the other things I just said are tools, getting uncomfortable with it and being brave enough to say, you know, I don't want this, so something's got to change, and I'm willing to go through that discomfort to get to the change because I'm worth it. And that, that's how the healing happens.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh, Katie. I am sitting here with goosebumps because you are like, I feel like we're kindred spirits, and there are so many things that as you're talking and I'm listening, I was thinking about like adding a comment and then you were saying it. So I was just like, that was so cool. And you're so right. And it's very powerful the way in which you use that metaphor that, you know, the student, when the student is ready, the teacher will show up, and how you were saying about the universe, like really just, you know, making its lesson very much in the forefront of, you know, what it is that you're going through. I feel that the universe has done the same thing for me on my journey. And I think that, you know, to what you shared about being a work in progress and just being so vulnerable and open with your clients about where you are and you know, that you're also on your journey is so incredibly empowering and raw. And I love that. And I honor that you are also so, you know, self-aware and in tune with this vulnerability. And I personally have seen in my life, both personally and, you know, externally with people around me, that the vulnerability is this link that really gives people the ability to find connection and, you know, learn from one another, which I have also personally seen as a way to reduce my level of stress and increase self-confidence. Because as we're going through the, you know, identity crisis, which I'm with you on that too. I've had to reinvent myself a few times, and I've moved, I'm turning 29 soon, and I've moved like 17 times in 29 years. So this reinvention, without calling it that, I've experienced it as well. And you really do have to get out of your comfort zone and you know, give yourself that opportunity to like be in that discomfort as hard as it is. So yeah, just like yes to everything you just shared.
Yeah, you know, the number one thing, to the point you just made, the number one thing I have on my corporate clients, employees in corporate settings, tell me is that they feel isolated and alone. They use the word isolation a lot. So when we feel isolated at work, despite all the technology that puts the world at our fingertips, it's scary. And if we're not willing to dig deep and find that strength, and that's okay. That's okay. Everyone's different on the different parts of their journey of their lives, and there's no judgment there. However, so when we're vulnerable, though, and when I share, then that allows somebody else to not feel so isolated and alone and know that they're going through this. And I really do thank Brene Brown for this. You know, I thank Oprah for making her famous, but I thank Brene Brown for doing the research on shame and blame and vulnerability and making it okay and putting it mainstream, because I think that also was groundbreaking. But the question then becomes, well, how do people make that happen for themselves? And that's a much taller order than just putting the research out there. How is this going to work? And how are we going to support people to be willing to get vulnerable and trust somebody else? And I can't force anyone, but I can go first and I can say, hey, yeah, I can be your support. I can help you through this if you want to hire me, or I can just keep sharing with you and you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, that's really important. And I also thank Brené Brown from the bottom of my heart, as I was in the darkest depressions of my entire life about 4 to 5 years ago. I read at least 2 of her books, and vulnerability was one of them. And I found such a peace and comfort and more wholeness with myself when I went through that self-awareness exercise, which, again, you know, was the boost for my self-confidence, because it gave me so much meaning and, like, hope and things to look forward to. And, you know, for someone who grew up in a household where I was actually discouraged to be vulnerable, like, I was told many times, like, especially in dating, like, don't show your personality until the person falls in love with you. And, like, I think that's the worst advice I could have ever been given, because, you know, like, how can you even connect with someone if you are putting on a front or trying to be someone else?
Right.
You know, it's
yeah.
So I'm very authentic and, like, very real and raw with everyone in my life. And I just see so much value in that. Like, it's just been something that, again, like, helps to lower my stress, because it gives me this purpose and meaning to connect with others, and then gives me this reassurance, like, okay, yeah, this is how I choose to live my life. And in a similar way, like, I think that when I was trying to think of tools to help, you know, give people the path, it's like, you really can't force someone. But I love what you said about leading first. And that is also my intention with Found Family Podcast, using this platform as a tool to have, you know, resilient women share their stories and be that example to really help share how they've been overcoming.
That's fantastic. I really applaud you for that. Yeah,
Thank you.
Just always just have to go first, because that's okay. Somebody's got to go first.
Exactly. That's so true.
You know, when I started this line of business, people were like, what are you doing? I mean, all the lawyers around me thought I was crazy.
Wow.
But I was like, you know, I don't know, but I can't keep doing what I have been doing. It's not good for me. It's going to kill me. And so, you know, this timeline of a pioneer goes like this. For the first couple of years, they thought I was crazy. Then the next couple of years, they're like, oh, we already know all that, which is cool. And then now people are coming around to, oh, this is really cool. And now I'm called a pioneer, which just cracks me up, because I'm the same person I was 10 years ago. Well,
wow.
A better version of it, but same stuff.
Wow. And are there certain examples, either in your personal life or just things that you'd like to share, of how stress does negatively impact self-confidence?
Oh, goodness. So much to say about that. You know, it's not necessarily that stress hits that self-confidence button so hard. It's that we don't have coping mechanisms around the stress.
Mm.
It presumes that you're self-aware, but a lot of my clients that show up when we start taking them through my program, and I do that one-on-one and in groups, regardless of the composition, it's like, first of all, the self-awareness that's dumb, and then they're like, what do I do now? So it's about self-soothing, which was the topic at hand here. And how do you take control and own and be a powerful, strong woman, whether you're in business or, I don't like the word retired, I don't even know what that means, reinventing yourself, wherever you are, what are you going to do now that you know that you're stressed, and now that you know the impact it's going to have on your brand perception? What are you going to do about it? And so that all comes down to self-soothing and self-healing. And those are the things I'm always working on. And that's gone into my new book, because whoever thought the concept of branding could turn into self-healing, but it sure certainly does.
Mm-hmm. And to piggyback that, as you shared, and as the topic is, you know, helping people learn how to self-soothe, what are some of those ways in which we can self-soothe and, you know, reduce stress and increase self-confidence?
Yeah, so the number one thing is to realize that you are worth the effort. And I know that sounds like big old, you know, airy-fairy concept. But for me, as I go through this process and learn it just as with my audience does, right, there's no way I'm going to self-soothe if I don't feel like I'm worthy. Mm. There just isn't. So my self-confidence is going to stay in the toilet, right? So realizing that, hey, you know what? I am worth it, and I am a child of God or the universe or whatever you want to call it, that there's a greater being and a greater purpose I serve, and I'm worth it. And as Gabby Bernstein so beautifully says in her book title, the universe does have my back. There's a reason that book resonated with people, because it's all the same universal truth we're teaching people, just from a different vantage point, or maybe somebody can say it a different way and it lands good on someone, whatever it is. But just knowing that I'm always loved, I'm lovable, and I'm loving, and I'm worthy. So, and that, you know, people roll their eyes and they scoff at that because it's so painful, you know, because we always want to think we're unworthy, and popular secular religion oftentimes teaches us that, right?
Yeah.
But we don't know what the solution to that is. So once you really just step out of the shame and the blame and the guilt and say, I'm worthy. So I'm worthy of self-soothing, because I do want to reduce my stress, because I do want to increase my self-confidence. So then you can actually start looking at, well, where in my life can I offer myself that? So simple. Certain things are just so simple that they seem like nuts, right? So for myself, just slowing down and going through my life patterns and my personal story, I call it people's personal connection stories is what I've trademarked it as, you know, having them write that and going through their life and seeing where it is where they didn't feel worthy. It's people say I'm very therapeutic. I'm not a therapist, but I'm therapeutic. So going through your own story and writing it out is very, very self-soothing and self-healing. However, the simplest one and that I'm always working on is, you can call it inner critic, you can call it ego, call it whatever you want, but it's that inner voice that judges yourself. Just listen to it. And, you know, some people call that self-compassion. My inner voice is just outright mean, you know, but it's there. And so right when when it comes up, I drop into my heart space and I think, oh, okay, so you're trying to teach me something. And thank you. So this morning, you know, I spilled something on the countertop as I was making breakfast. And, you know, I was raised to be very neat and clean. You know, that good immigrant in me tells me, you know, in order to be good enough to be accepted as an immigrant and make a difference in this country, I have to do everything just perfect, right? So that perfection is not very self-healing or self-loving or self-soothing, and it increases my stress tremendously, and it reduces my self-confidence, obviously. So, you know, when I spoke this morning, I said, oh, you know, thank you, inner critic. I really appreciate that you're trying to teach me to be clean and to take care of myself and to not have to clean up after myself, because that adds time to my day. And I love you for that. You don't have to do that, though. It's okay. Spilling is okay, right? So it's not denying it. It's not falsifying it. It's just accepting it and offering love to myself that way. Because otherwise, you know, these nasty conversations we have in our heads, and really not even knowing that I have those nasty conversations. So that's the starting place with self-soothing, because it's the biggest place. And it takes people the most amount of time to really recognize that for themselves. And then the other things are just like standard. Some of them, we don't have time to go through all of them. But well, where are you not being kind enough to yourself? So, you know, I have never had a weight problem, but I've always like, you know, 5-10 pounds, you know, and I've always really wanted fitness. So, you know, and I'm always like killing it at the gym and working out and getting up at 5:30. And I realized, you know, that's not really self-soothing or self-loving either, because it's a lot of effort and I get the results, but it wears me out. So where's the self-love there? So, you know, I realized a couple of, oh, I guess 6 months ago that, you know what, I'm going to love myself the way I look, whatever that is. And I also realized that any weight gain that I carry is because I'm kind of shielding myself. And it's like this extra layer of protection from the world. So that was very eye-opening, and offering myself self-healing around, but you know what? I don't need protection from anyone. And I don't need to carry that 4 or 5 pounds extra. And some of your audience may be going, rolling their eyes going, oh, sister, you're lucky you've only got 4 or 5 pounds to carry. You know, I've got, you know, I've had weight gain or weight loss problems all my life. I get that. I'm just sharing my version of it. because I think it's universally the same for all of us. Why are we carrying whatever weight? And why are we hard on ourselves? And I don't have to. It's a choice I make to carry that weight personally for me. And I don't need to protect myself from the world. And that's a very loving thought. And that's a very self-soothing thought. And then I get to decide what I'm going to eat and whether I want to eat something because it's good for me in terms of self-soothing or not. And so then when I do choose to eat that big giant sundae, it comes from a very different place. I hope that makes sense.
That made absolute sense. And the example that you share just really reinforced all that you just shared with us. So thank you for your openness, your vulnerability. I really honor your self-awareness, and all of these steps are just so beautifully and concisely, like, articulate. You know, like, I just feel that I was with you, like, going through your journey alongside you, and you are very therapeutic. Like, I'm leaning into the phone as if, like, I'm in person, like, leaning into the conversation. Like, I was just captivated by everything that you were saying, and you speak with such, like, a soothing voice and tone, and, you know, that inner critic, the ego. I'm also a big fan of Gabby Bernstein as well, and I've got her books, and I actually was, as before you even shared anything about Gabby Bernstein, I was going to share that there was from her Miracles Now, like, deck of mantras, one that was drawn was true abundance is an inside job. And so as I'm sitting here reflecting on, you know, just this self-soothing and my own personal story as you were sharing yours, you're absolutely correct that the self-work is the hardest work. And as the mantra says, it's like everything, you know, these things are an inside job, and it's scary to go there. I used to, you know, tell people that when I was really feeling like my third eye opened and I felt more woke to myself was after that dark depression that I was talking about. That was also the self-soothing that I needed to give to myself. And as you were sharing your story, what resonated with me too is, like, in my example, when I was feeling, and I'm also, like, my parents are both from Italy, so I'm first generation here. So they're immigrants, and I'm first generation. And so their mentality of, like, you need to be perfect. You're in this country. You have to keep up with the Joneses. You know, you're not going to be enough if X, Y, Z. That really impacted me as a child, and I suffer from obsessive compulsive disorder. And so with all of that, you know, my obsessions and compulsions led to perfectionism and this, like, self-loathing. And so when I hit rock bottom 5 years ago and needed, like you said, the universe was like, you need to learn this lesson, and this is the way that you're going to learn it. I don't regret anything that happened the way that it did, because it led me to exactly where I am today, and I honor my experiences. And again, like, it was just very clear with my, what was resonating with me too, is as you shared that, you know, you had to give even this inner critic love. It's hard, but to be able to do that helped, like, I felt my whole body relaxing. Like, my physiology changed as I heard the way that you spoke to yourself when you spilled something, you know. It's like a mindful awareness, you know, not just being, like, aware and then forgetting about it, but, like, really internalizing it and realize, like, what's changed in me now? Like, how does this now make me feel when I've been able to be kinder to this, like, mean girl inside of me?
Yes. I think, I don't remember exactly her name. I want to say it's Laura Cameron, or maybe Lori Cameron, but she's got this great free audible called Self-Compassion. And I believe in there she calls it meta-awareness or something at the meta level. And it's really true, but it's a very painful awareness because we don't want to find out what we don't want to find out, because it's so much easier to go through the old patterns, because at least it's comfortable and it's safe. But that's really the ego's way of fooling us. We're not really safe. And that comfort is really, it's hyper discomfort, couch discomfort, because at least I know the devil I know is better than the unknown. Right. So, And I just so honor you, Lizzie. You're so wise and you're so brave. And I love that courage. You know, courage at any level is good, whatever that means. And my goal is never to force women outside of their comfort zone or any of my clients. It's just to let them bump up against it gently, because otherwise that's not very self-loving and self-soothing either, right? That you're willing to just look at it differently. You know, I'm a big Course in Miracles student, Gabby is, and the central tenet is forgiveness, but it's about choosing to see things differently. And so that's why my tagline in my business is what it is, choosing a different perspective. That's all this is. Just even for 1 second, look at it differently. Just see an alternative. I call it reframe with all my clients. They know it. Let's do a reframe on that. Let's just choose a different outlook on it. It's not easy. Everything I talk about, as the great Werner Erhard says, is simple but not easy.
Right.
Simple but not easy, because we don't let it be.
Yeah, that's so true. And as we are, you know, coming to a close for this discussion, what I would love to just touch upon and really leave as the closing, you know, statement and vibe is, in terms of, you know, things that our listeners can do today to begin this self-soothing, self-love journey, what would you say to someone, or what, you know, advice can you share with them that can help them today to, like, start seeing things and shifting their perspective?
Yeah, that's a really great question. The first thing is, are you willing? And everything is a choice, and you get to choose. And I have this ability to not choose until I'm down on my knees, right? So I'd like it for it to be easier for people. So you don't have to wait until it gets to the point that you and I described. But sometimes until the pain and until the reality is so stark, the contrast, that we don't take that leap. So maybe for your listeners, you know, things could just be better. And people are like, I'm doing great. I'm like, that's awesome. How could it be even better, right? And I'm not a half glass half empty. It's just reality. So, and then you don't have to do it alone. You know, I formed these groups, these free groups called Support Salons. And it's just a way for professional women to get together, because the word salon back in the day was where women actually got together in a room in Europe to co-create and to find support from others who could either support them, mentor them, coach them, where they got to be inspired by others and actually live their best life. And if they had something that they needed work on, then those people are also a safe place. So I do those free once a month in San Diego. The point is, find your support. Women are afraid to ask for support. We don't know we need it. We're just going to do it all by ourselves. And I don't think that's safe or necessary. And then reach out and use the tools, you know. Until I was ready, I wasn't ready. And then I started hiring people to help me. And this is, you don't have to hire you or me. It's just, know that you don't have to do it alone. And know that there's people that do this for a living. You know, I do my programs because I don't want people to go through what I went through at that level. You know, we can accelerate this. You can still do it on your own, figure it out. It's just, if someone has been through it and has figured out some way that can make your life easier in that sense, but not take away your control of it, then utilize them, for heaven's sakes, because otherwise it's still taking the blind eye. That's what I say. And so, you know, you have products. I have products. Don't let the cynic and the inner critic say it's not for you and it's not worth it, you know. And, you know, I just utilize so many resources, from Marianne Williamson to Gabby to, you know, all sorts of new stuff, because education is important. Take control of your life. You matter, and it's important for you to do that.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And really, that support system, you know, is what I want to just really, you know, extend that hug to literally everyone who's listening right now, that, you know, as you know, Katty said, like, you are not alone. And as I've shared in the intro of my podcast and, you know, with all of my guests, it's like, that is really the mission of Found Family is to connect, you know, women with women and help everyone feel understood, accepted, assured that they're not alone. And that was one of my biggest, you know, pivotal, like one of those pivotal moments in my life where when I realized that I wasn't alone, and to your point, Caddy, when I could, you know, feel comfortable reaching out to people and be vulnerable and ask for help and just tell people what I was going through, it helped everything. And, you know, whether it was like work related things or in my personal life. And, you know, I love how you phrased the goal of the coach, you know, like someone who has tools and resources, et cetera. It's like, we're here as a guide, and we are able to help fast track, you know, like, I love how you phrased that, because that really is, I would not want anyone to feel the pain that I was feeling during the depression that I had either. And, you know, to be able to say, this is what I've learned from my experience. Here's what I can share with you. And as you said too, like, you know, take it or not, but hopefully this is something that can at the very least be like a seed that's planted. So I think that everything that you shared is like its own individual seed that is now touching so many people. And I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing and for all the things that you shared with us. Truly, like, I am feeling touched and inspired by this conversation. So these are things I'm
so
happy doing more today as well.
Well, you made my day, and you reiterated my purpose. And can I just shamelessly plug for more resources? I just want to give you a quick story about how my third book came to being, because I think it's funny, and I think people will really, everyone's got a book in them, and I really believe it. Is that okay with you?
Oh my gosh, please, absolutely. That was going to be my final, because I'm going to include your link tree, you know, and all of your sites so that people can go and support you and follow
you.
But please, yes, share with us.
So the third book is not available yet. It's in editing. But so, you know, I kept thinking I've written two books, and, you know, they had different purposes and published by different entities. And this third book, though, it was rolling around in my head for years. And I just, like, is this another book on branding? Like, what am I going to say? And so I sat down, Lizzie, and I started channeling it. And for those of you who are like, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? You know, everyone writes on their own, but, you know, it's a movement that moves through you, through your connection with Source and whatever inspires you, your inner writer. And what really came out was that all of my content on branding is about self-healing. So the third book is called Perfectly Unperfect, you know, using stress and reducing the stress to self-heal. And I think one of the most fundamental things that came through, the message that Source wanted me to share with folks, is that they do matter and they're loved. And it brings me to tears to say that, because I don't think people hear that enough. I don't hear that enough. And so everything we've talked about can be captured through that. And every product I put out to support people comes from that sense of, hey, do you really get that, that you're loved and you matter? And without your presence in this world, we would be incomplete. So you can do whatever you want with that. Maybe that means just sitting in that information. Otherwise, you could do with it. So other product that I have is coming up, and I know it's not leaving this evergreen, but March 20th at 11 Pacific, I was inspired by my clients. So for professional women who are trying to figure out, hey, what's my value and my worth, and how can I get paid accurately for out in the workforce, whether that means I'm working for somebody else and I deserve that promotion and I deserve my voice to be heard and I deserve to be paid a fair wage. I'm doing a 2-hour workshop online to explain all that and give them a roadmap for that, because I can't tell you how many women, and I wonder if, Lizzie, if you get the same thing, say to me that, like, what's my value and why am I not getting promoted? Why am I not getting the right clients in the door? And I just said, you know what, I'm going to take 2 hours. I'm going to charge $79 because you're worth it. And I'm going to give you this content. And then at the end, I'm going to give you a free workshop on top of that, because I don't want the money to be the reason you don't show up, because this is something solvable and it puts you on the right path. So anyway, that's my content, and everything else is on my website. We got programs, and it's Puris Consulting, P-U-R-I-S consulting.com, webcasts, TV shows, podcasts, anything that might be of value to you is there. You guys get to decide what you want to access.
Absolutely. You are such a beautiful light. I am so like honored and truly like humbled to be speaking with you. And this is like why I call these conversations soul chats, is because it is literally a moment of my soul speaking to your soul and then our souls sharing with other souls. It's just beautiful. And I'm looking at your link tree and I see like Kathy GTV, your research story on stress and self-confidence, what does Kathy do, emotional resonance factor, mini course signups, pre-introduction to branding bootcamp webinar, just so many incredible, incredible resources. So yes, Sam, please go and support Kathy. We are going to share, you know, all of these links with you on in the description of this podcast. So, and then as far as like social media goes, are you on, I saw that you're on LinkedIn and
Twitter.
You are on
LinkedIn,
Twitter,
okay. Twitter and Facebook. Yeah, I'm all over
Perfect.
Twitter. So, yes,
Amazing.
We have
Great.
A really lovely community on Twitter. So,
Wonderful.
Would love to connect anywhere with everyone.
Fabulous. Well, thank you again so much for your time, for sharing your beautiful life with us. And I'm so excited to, you know, be able to share this message with everyone.
Thank you for having me, Lizzie. It was my honor and my privilege, and I'm happy to be of purpose.
Thank you.
As promised, here's the announcement. This special gift is in response to the coronavirus, catering to the needs of professional women, supporting you to thrive at home during these turbulent and challenging days. Kathy is offering a rare, one-time-only gift to all of the Found Family podcast listeners. She is making her Professional Women's Money Miracle Branding Bootcamp available for $59 per class instead of $397 per class. It's a 7-week program, and it will help all of us professional women learn how to have a successful career and business brand in 7 weeks, even in a crisis economic environment. Classes start tomorrow, April 16th, and the link to register is in the description of this episode. Looking forward to seeing you there. A big shout out and huge thank you to Kathy for this incredible gift. And of course, a big thank you to you, my Found family. I'm so grateful for your support. I hope that you and your loved ones are staying safe and doing well. And I'm sending you all good vibes from New York City. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family, or if you share on social, be sure to tag me at Coach Lizzie.